You're listening to Breakfast with Lish Bayer on ABC Radio Canberra.
Now, I'm still hearing bits of news coming back from Indonesia as they continue to clean up after the disaster from the earthquake and all the footage coming back. There's some buildings standing, others reduced to rubble, and those communities grieving just the loss of family and friends and livelihoods. But what else is in those pictures that you mightn't see? Something that is a real risk that isn't the immediate natural disaster, but a national disaster. It's the building materials that they're still using in these countries, like Indonesia. Dave Hodgkin is the Global Director of Shelter at Miyamoto. He's also an ex-Canberran, and the voice might be familiar because he used to be the DIY guru here on ABC Radio Canberra. He's basically he goes in after disasters and looks at what stood standing and why, and encourages government post-disaster to build back better. I chatted with him earlier and started by asking him what the housing stock was like in Indonesia, is it like in Indonesia, and what buildings are made of now.
In an emerging nation, you introduce modern healthcare and education and kids survive. You know, mum and dad who had 14 kids and only two survived to adulthood. You know, in the old days, one of the kids married somebody and got their house, and one of the other kids got married and got your house. And you didn't have very much of a housing stock need. And then you introduce modern healthcare and education and hygiene, stuff like that, and kids start surviving. And then you get this boom of children that need houses, you know, as they grow up. So you get a massive boom in the housing stock. You get introduction of new building materials that people don't necessarily understand. So some of their traditional disaster resilient practices get diffused and broken down by, you know, moving into corrugated iron or concrete or materials that they've new modern materials that they want to use because they're cheaper and more efficient, but they don't really totally understand the technology of it. And then there's a process of the government's catching up in terms of, we never needed building regulations before because people just built their own house and it evolved to suit the risks. I think one of the important things to understand is that there's no such thing as a natural disaster, right? It's just a natural hazard or a national event like an earthquake that turns into a disaster because things are badly built or because people are built in the wrong place or because people are not prepared to respond. You know, these are sociological reasons that a natural hazard becomes a disaster. What we're seeing in terms of materials and stuff is you've got an introduction of a whole bunch of new modern materials without much regulation as those materials, as the country sort of moved through this development phase, you see an introduction of all these materials. And some of those are pretty nasty, like asbestos. Area of Cianjur, asbestos is still legal for sale in Indonesia. When it got outlawed in countries like Australia, those lovely companies then just saw a new market and jumped sideways and started selling it. So in the last earthquake, I did a lot of work here with the Ministry of Social Affairs in raising consciousness around this. But it's actually challenging because the asbestos lobby groups, as fast as we're raising awareness, they're raising unawareness. So encountering the information that we're putting out. There's a massive, you know, there's an Indonesian National Ban Asbestos Network. We work closely with them trying to help and assist in trying to get asbestos banned. But for now, it's still legal for sale. It's actually really impressive, you know, sitting here watching the Indonesian community respond en masse. But, yeah, enforcing the building code, retrofitting buildings, actually coming back and getting the old building stock and upgrading it, which is something I didn't mention before, but it's, like, such a big issue right now. There are real challenges for these emerging nations where you've got this huge mass of building stock that just all of it needs to be retrofitted. And of course, you know, over time, it'll all get pulled down and replaced with new high-rise buildings and new fancy houses, and the problem will disappear. But the intervening period, you've got a whole bunch of people living in danger.
So that adds to this whole situation even more, because one particular picture in The Australian of a father carrying their child and just the rubble in the background, and that just looks like building rubble to us.
It's corrugated cement sheet roofing. In Australia, cement sheet roofing in 1982, that we outlawed the use of asbestos. So if you've got a building that's older than 1982, you might well have asbestos in your eave linings, in your bathroom linings, or in corrugated cement sheet roofing. But if your house was built after that, you don't have that. But right now, if you're in Indonesia and you're in Cianjur and your house was built yesterday and it had corrugated cement sheet roofing, then it had asbestos in it. In the Lombok earthquake response, which happened 2 years ago, 3 years ago, sorry, 2018, I actually hired in the director of the Australian Asbestos Disease Research Institute, Dr. Ken Takahashi. We went through that area and about 27% of the roofs were asbestos, and those asbestos roofs had about a 20% asbestos content on average. And many, many, many cases, people just crushed it flat so that they could put a tent on top of it. Oh. And we encountered many cases where there was families and the tent was just a tarpaulin on an A-frame and people literally sleeping on the ground in the dust. We took samples of people, of little kids. We literally bought some sandals off a kid and said, can we send them off to a lab and tested them? And we plucked the feathers from a chicken running around in amongst a household's backyard. And they were all laden with asbestos. So it's a real issue here.
How's it
dealt
with?
Lead paint is another one.
Okay, lead paint as well. How is it dealt with in the recovery, but then on a broader scale for the health of Indonesians?
It's right now, as I said, it's an ongoing challenge. It's just bringing about the awareness. You're bringing these new materials, and those materials come with particular challenges. The only solution for asbestos is outlawing it and then slowly but surely eradicating it from the built environment. It's complicated when you've got a population who doesn't know that that's a risk. And also it's doubly complex when you're in a disaster and people are much more fixated on the current risk that's in front of their faces. The company I'm working with, Miyamoto, we're also working in Ukraine at the moment and facing the same issue in Ukraine. About 90% of the roofs of houses in Ukraine used asbestos. And that, as on top of that, loose fluff asbestos insulation, Mr. Fluffy from Canberra, that was used extensively throughout Ukraine, and also communal heating. We had asbestos lagging on pipes, so asbestos everywhere. And this was part of Russia sells about 50% of all the asbestos on the planet. And part of them trying to make sure the Rotterdam Convention didn't outlaw it was getting countries like Ukraine that they controlled to act as vetoes or blocks on the Rotterdam Convention. So they flooded those countries with cheap asbestos and got them a lot of false information. So for us, it's a real challenge. And it's a real challenge of, you know, how do you deal with the humanitarian imperative to save lives now, but also deal with staying safe yourself and keeping everybody else safe. When you're watching those videos on TV, look at the dust you're seeing rise up from buildings being crushed or collapsing, and imagine working in that. Because I can tell you that many times I've been in disasters where I'm coughing all day from the dust.